These days, it feels like Christian and I are always on our toes with Honey getting bigger and Haven starting to walk around. Well, she's not walking yet, but that girl, she is crawling fast and Cabo living her best life. It's amazing, but it can also be pretty exhausting at times. And so I'm very thankful for our Helix mattress. Helix knows that everyone sleeps differently, which is why they offer tons of mattress models to choose from that are designed for all different kinds of sleep positions and feel preferences. With Helix, you're getting a mattress that's perfect for you so that you get the best quality sleep every single night of your life. So how do you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Well, just take the Helix Sleep Quiz to find your perfect match in under 2 minutes. Head over to helixsleep.com/Sadie. Take the 2-minute quiz and get matched with the perfect Helix mattress. It will be a total game changer for your sleep. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Just go to helixsleep.com/Sadie and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Go to helixsleep.com/Sadie and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. What's up? Well, that's good, fam. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's me and my hubby in the house.
In the podcast studio.
And we're so excited because this is honestly one of our favorite podcast episodes we get to do, which is answering your DMs that you send in. And y'all hit us with some tough questions this time.
Some very deep questions.
Honestly, they were really deep and they're so good. And I'm so thankful that y'all trust us with these deep questions you're wrestling with. So I'm just going to kind of throw out a few of the ones we're going to talk about today. These are some of the questions y'all sent in.
No. Let's not tease them. Let's just get into it.
What?
Yeah, let's not tease them.
Well, some people might be like, okay, looking for something,
true,
you know?
I
and they're like,
it.
Yes, okay, they're talking about this subject.
Give them a little tease.
So here's a little bit of what y'all sent in. First question we're going to talk about is, why does my mental struggle feel bigger than God? How do I truly rest in God and live in a continual, peaceful life? That's a big question. Then we're going to talk about, how do you discern if something is a sign from God or know if you are just over-spiritualizing something? Then Christian's going to tackle how to be in the world but not of it, especially in college. And also we're going to talk about how to share the gospel as an introvert, because Christian can relate to that. And then we have a few other ones that we might touch on. People ask about how to go about a godly breakup, how to deal with negative roommates, and how not to lose yourself in the process, and how to go about reading the Bible to your children and not overwhelm them like by big concepts like heaven and hell and sin and all the different things. So we're going to dive in. You guys, thank you for sending these. Keep sending them to the Well That's Good podcast Instagram page. That's where we're checking this out, and we'd love to answer them. So let's dive in. We already prayed beforehand.
We did.
And, I hope that even just our conversation with you will just kickstart you doing your own study in the Bible for some of these things. So the first one, why does my mental struggle feel bigger than God? First of all, just like your honesty and how you even asked that question really stuck out to me, because that is so true. Like sometimes just like the mental battle can feel bigger than what, you know, God can just heal in a moment, even though you know that's not true, because you know God is bigger than all things. And God could, like, you read about scripture where the woman who was bleeding for 12 years just touched the robe of Jesus and was healed instantly. So there's nothing too big for God to heal. But I understand that it feels so big sometimes that you're like, God, can you really heal this? And then you go on to ask the second question, how do I truly rest in God and live in a continual, peaceful life? So I just want to talk about that a little bit. And before we dive into really like what the word says in scripture, just a little insight. That is something I really struggle with. I struggle a lot with like my mind and just like controlling the thoughts in my mind and taking captive those thoughts. And literally last week we were heading to IF Gathering, and I was speaking there. I was so excited to speak there, but it had been just like a mentally draining week. We had a million different things going on, and whenever I'm really busy, that's when I struggle the most mentally, I think, because I'm not as on guard with my thoughts, and I'm not just like guarding my mind as carefully as I should because I'm so busy. Well, in the midst of like super busy times, I had some hate come to me on social media, and then I was super in my head about that. And then I'm coming straight from mentally, you know, having all these thoughts about social media and what people think of me to trying to prepare a message to preach in front of 10,000 women the next day and 75,000 people watching online. And it was like, felt like an impossible task. And it was like, every time I would think, okay, I'm going to say this or I'm going to say that. Normally, I don't feel like I just feel like a peace and like let the spirit lead. But I was overthinking every single thing. Well, if I say that, what are people going to think? Or if I say this, and did I say it right? Or is it theologically sound? Like just like going through the million things, because I had just come from seeing people on Instagram say some pretty harsh words to me. And because I wasn't in a good space mentally and I wasn't guarding my hearts and my thoughts, I was just like letting all this kind of like become true. And so I remember Christian said to me, he was like, babe, you're really struggling with your mind. And I just started crying. I was like, I know I am. I know I'm struggling with my mind.
He's because when you get in that place, you overthink
everything.
Like if someone looks at you this way or if someone says something, then you just overanalyze it. I think that can be your biggest struggle is when you are going through things spiritually like that, it can even affect, you know, practical things like that.
Simple things.
Yes, a simple look or a side eye or a comment or whatever that's not intended to be that way.
Yeah, so I was just in that headspace because I'd come from, like I said, really busy and then getting kind of blasted on social media. And then I was overthinking everything. Like I was
Which when you get blasted on social media, I think it makes me more mad. I just get super frustrated. So if you ever bash us on social media, I'm the one that gets more frustrated. And you just kind of get more sad.
Yeah. And so I was sad. I was mentally struggling. And then that became into like everything where a look would throw me off or what somebody said or what I was thinking about saying. And he was like, you're just really struggling with your mind. And I was like, I know. And then I don't even know if you really knew what was going on over there while I was in the passenger seat because we were driving to Dallas for me to speak. And I just kind of like stopped everything I was doing. I got super frustrated. And I finally just started like crying. And I just sat with the Lord. I turned on like worship and I was just like, okay, God, you have to help me with how I'm going to respond to this situation on social media because my mind can't get past it right now. And so I just sat with the Lord. And honestly, I felt like God gave me finally a response, like how I'm to handle it, how I'm to proceed. And I ended up posting this story that was just honestly came from that prayer time. And then I was able to post something the next day that was just a solid response so that I could just move forward. And when I sat with the Lord, man, I just felt like God gave me so much empathy and related to me and spoke so much truth over my life. And then I was able to just carry on and truly like have a sound mind. It was crazy. Like you saw me, and even the host that was hosting as an If gathering the first night, she said, like, she was so, so sweet. And she was like, you were great. Like you were very nice, but I could tell like there's something you were going through. And she said, just as your host to see you the next morning, come here. You look so renewed. You look so refreshed. And then to go on stage and preach the message that you did. She said, honestly, for me, it was amazing to see. And I thought that was just really cool from like feedback from someone I don't really know very well, who saw me the night before and saw me the next day and got to experience like just a renewal. Like she saw me be renewed by the Spirit, and that came directly from prayer. So I say all that to say, like, I understand what it feels like to struggle with your mind and struggle with mental thoughts, but we're going to go to the Word because it's so cool how actually the Word is saying essentially the process that I went through. Like I had to go to Jesus to receive that peace, to get renewed, to be able to go about my next day as a completely new person and walk into that moment and do the job that, you know, God called me to do without being in my head and overthinking it and all the things. So this is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 is where we're going to start. And it says, don't worry about anything, which already, if you're like me, you're like, well, that seems like an impossible task. But let's keep going. In everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. So I love this verse so much. But I think a lot of times what we do is we take the last half of that verse, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And we go like, oh, I want to have the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. That's literally the question this person asked me, like, how do I rest in God and live in a continual peace? And you're probably making a nod towards that verse because you hear people say, man, I have peace that surpasses all understanding. And I think so many times we want that peace that surpasses all understanding, but we're not willing to go to the place where peace is to receive it. And see, that peace that surpasses all understanding, it literally tells us where we find that. It says right before, in everything, through prayer and through petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will then guard your heart and your mind. And that's essentially exactly the process I went through. I did not have peace. My mind was spiraling. I was thinking of all these negative things and these thoughts other people said. That was what was in my mind. And then I went to God and I prayed and I talked to the Lord about it and thought through scripture and just different things that Jesus went through. And I came out on the other side with a peace that surpassed the understanding of my situation. Because now I had the truth of what God says about me. I felt the love of God, the grace of God wash over me, and I was able to continue on with a clear heart and a clear mind. There's also some things I need to do in the process too. Like I needed to forgive the people that said hateful things to me on Instagram, because I don't think that I could go on and have a clean heart and a pure heart if I was carrying bitterness and unforgiveness. And so there's just things I need to sit with the Lord. I need to confess some things. I need to heal from some things. I need some grace to be washed over me, forgiveness. And then I was able to continue on. I think about that verse in Romans too, like, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And I was thinking about how, you know, it's so easy to conform to the pattern of the world. And one of the patterns of the world is social media. And as I was like on social media and reading all these hateful comments and reading all this like input on my life, I was getting so stressed out and so insecure. And then when I stopped conforming to the pattern of the world and let Jesus transform my mind, I was able to then carry on and do the will that God had for me, which is actually what that verse says. So this is just a great verse, and it kind of step-by-step walks you through how to actually get that peace of God. So that peace of God that surpasses all understanding isn't just this like mysterious thing that falls on you sometimes. No, it comes to you when you meet with peace, when you meet with Jesus. Christian and I talk a lot about being healthy mentally, spiritually, and physically, and a good night's sleep can really help with that. And that's why we love our Helix mattress. Helix is a mattress brand that provides a tailored sleep experience based on your unique needs. The Helix lineup includes 20 unique models, each designed for different sleep positions and feel preferences. You should never have to compromise on comfort. And now, Helix is offering their most premium mattresses yet with the Helix Elite Collection. Every Helix Elite mattress has a built-in cooling cover, lumbar support, dual cushioning layers. It's all the things you need to truly elevate your sleep experience. You can find out which of these awesome models is best for you by taking the 2-minute Helix sleep quiz. They'll find your perfect fit and they'll send it right to your door for free, which I think might be the best part. The setup is so fast and so easy, you'll be getting the best night's sleep before you know it. Plus, Helix mattresses are American made and come with a 10 or 15 year warranty based on the model that you chose. I love it when companies have so much confidence in their products, and they definitely do. We actually took the Helix sleep quiz and we were matched with the Helix midnight mattress because we wanted something not too firm, not too soft, and Christian and I both are side sleepers and they take everything into account. We were so excited to upgrade our mattress, and actually because we loved ours, we actually got one for our friends too when they got married, and they say it is the best mattress they've ever had and love it so much. So don't just take me and Christian's word for it. We have friends that love it too, and they have so many 5-star reviews. You got to go check it out. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Just go to helixsleep.com/Sadie and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long, friends. With Helix, better sleep can start now. Just go to helixsleep.com/Sadie and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. Before I carry on, do you have any thoughts?
No, that's good. Yeah, I'll kind of just, well, even, you know, because it is going to be oftentimes where you do have a mental struggle that does feel bigger than God in a way, you know, like where, but I think even kind of giving a nod to it, you've mentioned kind of, you'll go and like sit with it for a while. And I think that sometimes, you know, there's the main difference is it's the difference in the sit, right? It's sit and pray through it and ask God to work through it, or there's a sit and you're just going to kind of sulk in it and kind of wallow in it and like make any progress. So, you know, I just want to say, whoever asked this question, like, it is going to be often that, you know, or maybe not often, but there are going to be times where you do feel like there's something bigger than God in, you know, the situation that you're going through. And it's the main, you know, difference to moving towards that continual peaceful life. It's going to be what does your sit look like? Are you going to are you going to sit and you're going to just let that define you and kind of just sulk in it and, you know, let that be the end of it? Or are you going to push through it? Are you going to pray? And are you going to bring all these requests and petitions to God? So
that's so good. Cause there's kind of a specific time in that car ride where I had been like thinking on those things so much and I was trying to just push through it. I'm trying to study for this message. I'm trying to like just carry on with my day. And then I was like getting irritable. I was getting frustrated. I was getting insecure. And then Christian's like, I think you're struggling like mentally. And then finally when I just broke and started crying, I was like, okay, like I just need to give this to the Lord. And I was just like sitting, letting the tears flow, letting the hurt out, and just like letting the Lord minister to my heart. That's when everything started shifting. So I think, you know, I was just trying to like press through it. But, you know, those mental things, you don't just have to like, you know, glance over or press through it. Like, no, like press into the Lord through it. And I think for like, that's just an example of just a day-to-day mental struggle. But then there are things where it's like depression or anxiety, and there's crippling anxiety and crippling depression. And then there's postpartum anxiety and depression. And that's a whole different thing. Like if you know you're going through a mental struggle that feels so big and you've been sitting in it for a long time and you've been trying to renew your mind, you've been praying to the Lord, then I think it really is important to go seek counsel, like godly counsel, a therapist, a counselor, someone to actually help you walk through it. And I've done that so many times. I've gone to counseling. I have had people help me through those different bigger seasons of life. So definitely don't just like glance over it, try to press through it, try to just like get your mind right, like get the help you need to get your mind right. Definitely is so important. I'm going to go on to say a few more verses because verse 8 is so good. And verse 9, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. And that just kind of takes it a step further. It's like, okay, you know, come to God, pray to God, give him all your requests, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be with you. Then he's like, hey, and here's some things that you can think on, because you got to exchange those toxic thoughts with some good thoughts. So think on what's true. Think on what's honorable and pure and just and lovely and commendable and praiseworthy, and then dwell on that. And then as you dwell on that, the peace of God is going to be with you. And there have been times where, Christian, I remember we were like together. I think we were married by this time, whenever I had the screensaver of like that random collage. Mm-hmm. And I told you I made that because I went through this verse and I was like, hey, what is true? And like I put a verse in that collage. I was like, what is pure? And I thought about something that I think is like represents purity. And I put that picture in this collage. And then I thought about what's lovely, what's excellent, what's praiseworthy. And I just made a picture collage of like what was just kind of a physical representation of what these words look like. And that was the screensaver on my phone for a little while. So that whenever I needed to like train my brain to think on positive things, I actually had a picture in my mind to think of. And these pictures kind of led me to like think on the memories that I had with it or the scripture that was there in it. And so, you know, sometimes you actually just have to get aggressive with those thoughts and be like, no, I am going to think on these things. And if that means literally like putting a picture in my mind for me to picture, I'm going to do it. And so definitely, like Christian said, what does your sit look like? Is it sitting and like actively working through those thoughts or sitting and just soaking in it and just sulking in it? Because it's really important to define the difference of the two.
That is our perfect segue to our next question. How do you discern if something is a sign from God or know if you are just over-spiritualizing something?
Yes. So this is something
that really ties into the verse that you kind of just read.
Yes. So we put this verse here and I was like, wow, this actually kind of goes to both of these questions. So I think, how do you know if it's a sign from God or know if you're just over spiritualizing it? I think, you know, if it's a sign from God, it's going to align with God's word. And I think that's really important to note, because I remember I got this sign from God years ago. I thought it was a sign from God because it was a very overly spiritualized thing that happened. And I was like, oh my gosh, this must be a sign. But it was basically stepping into a relationship that there was like the fruit of Jesus was not on. Like, it was not pure. It was not lovely. It was not all the things. But I was like, whoa, I have this sign. Like, it must be God, right? And I think that was not God. I think that was over spiritualizing something. I think it was a little bit of manipulation. And I think it was just me wanting to do something in the flesh and not in the spirit. And so I love Jackie Hill Perry posted this thing on Instagram about how peace is not necessarily like the best way to discern if you should do something or not. Because so many people say like, oh, well, I had peace about it. Or, oh, I had this sign and then I had peace. And that's a lot of times the way people will tell you to discern if you are to do something or not. Like, do you have peace? But she talks about how like peace is also like an emotion, you know? So sometimes you might feel like you have peace to do something, but you could be doing something like very ungodly. And so you need to make sure that your peace is not just like a feeling that your flesh is producing because it's something that you want. And it's actually something that's like aligned with God's word and God's mm-hmm. spirit, because sometimes God's going to call you to do something that's very much the will of God for your life that you won't have like the feeling of peace because it's scary, you know? But I think that's when God comes in and says like, do not fear. So, you know, I think that sometimes we overemphasize the feeling of peace instead of like actually just being guided by the spirit and being guided by the word. And so I think if you're looking at something, you think it's a sign from God, you need to ask God, or first you can just analyze, okay, does this actually align with God's word? Like, is this a good thing? Does it, am I honoring God, honoring people? Am I loving God and loving my neighbor? Am I, you know, am I in line with scripture as I proceed to do whatever this is? Is this sign leading to the things that God says? Also, the other thing I would say is like, have you asked God if it's a sign, you know? Mm-hmm. Because in Genesis 24, it's such a cool story. And it's a story of whenever Abraham is sending out one of his servants to find a wife for Isaac. And basically, the servant goes out and he's like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to help me find this wife for Isaac. Like, how am I going to know? And so the servant says something like very specific to God about finding his wife. He basically is like, okay, I'm going to sit here with my camels. And then the person who comes to the well, whenever she asks me to water the camels, then like, would that be the person that's going to be Isaac's wife? So he asked for a sign, but he actually asked for like a very specific sign. Like, God, if you show me this, then I'm going to know that it's you. And then sure enough, like a couple minutes later, I don't know how long it actually was, Rebecca comes and she does exactly what he just asked God to show him. Like, she does ask for the water for the camels or whatever it was. And then he was like, oh, wow, like this is her. This is what the Lord had set up. And so I think like if you are going to ask for signs, that's just like a biblical example. Like, they actually asked God for that and then God showed them that. And I think like there's been situations in our life where we've asked God, we always say like, God, give us green lights or red lights. And if you give us green lights and the doors are opening and we, you know, feel like this is kind of aligning with what you asked and like we'll walk through. But if it's not, give us red lights. And if it's like a closed door, we're just going to trust that that's your will and we're just going to stop there. And so sometimes, you know, you can ask God for things like that and he'll lead you in those directions and whatnot. But I think like ultimately the biggest thing is that if it's a sign from God, it's going to align with the word of God. And if it doesn't align with the word of God, then I would not take that as a sign of God. And if you do have a sign that looks like God, but you're not sure, then ask God, God, is this a sign from you? This feels like you. And then you can assess if you have peace about it and you can assess if it aligns with his will and you can go forward from there. Mm-hmm. When it comes to having apps on our phone, there are certainly ones that make us feel better than others. Friends, the world we live in can be hard to navigate, but our partners, Abide, is here to help us through it. Abide is the number one Christian meditation app, and its users report less stress, lower anxiety and depression, and better sleep, which is quite the contrary than some of the other apps we get on. Abide invites you to start your day with daily meditations that are based on biblical scripture to help you draw closer to Jesus. And for a limited time, our listeners will get 25% off of a premium subscription when you text WHOA, W-H-O-A, to 22433. Abide's meditations start at just 2 minutes long, so they're easy to fit into even the busiest schedule. They cover topics like stress management, addiction and recovery, overcoming anxiety, and so much more. Join the millions of people using Abide to find peace and center themselves on Christ daily. Abide is also great for winding down at the end of a day with Bible bedtime stories that are great for kids and even grownups. I personally love them. It's so great. Abide has been super helpful to me in my life. Sometimes it's really hard for me to go to bed because that's whenever all of the anxieties will come or the thoughts will just run wild. And instead of turning on a show or scrolling social media, which actually won't help me fall asleep, when I turn on the Abide app and just listen to a meditation or listen to a bedtime story, I find myself falling asleep pretty much every time before it's over. So get started now with 25% off a premium subscription by texting WHOA, W-H-O-A, to 22433. You'll get additional stories and meditations, premium music, soothing sounds, and more. Support this show and get 25% off by texting WHOA to 22433.
That's so good. And I really, we do live in such a culture where, you know, I do feel like we over-spiritualize so many things. And contrary to popular belief, I just think that some things actually just are coincidences. Yeah, I know a bunch of people don't believe in coincidences and all those different things. But, you know, some things actually can just be like coincidental. You know, like I think sometimes we read so much into it and we make something that could just be a potential circumstance, we make it super spiritual. And it's like, no, like you actually just bumped into them at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like this is a sign, you know. And even on like the, you know, not the biblical side, but even like just the world, you know, there's all these people that's like, you know, the universe is telling me, you know, and I think that's the far extreme of like the opposite of what we believe, you know, like obviously God, you know, can speak to you and give you dreams and signs and these things. And then, you know, but sometimes I do think that there's just like coincidental things that's like, you don't have to read too much into it.
Like, for instance, we had a friend who had gotten out of this relationship and it wasn't necessarily a great relationship. And then she saw this person at the airport and she was like, is it a sign? You know, like, are we supposed to get back together? And just it went through this whole like, what if? Is this the Lord? Is this whatever? And Christian's like, I think you just happened to see him at the airport because that relationship was not good. Like, you know that doesn't really align with what God has for you. It's not God's best for you. And so, like, you actually might have just seen them at the airport and it's not God saying, like, oh, you need to get back in this relationship and all these things. So just, like, not – I feel like a lot of times – we just overthink what God's thinking, you know? And I feel like God says, you know, what is it? Proverbs 3, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So if you are acknowledging him, I believe that he will make your path straight. And I believe that his word and his spirit, they will be like a light unto your path. They'll be like a lamp unto your feet. And if you just like continue the conversation, you keep acknowledging him, you're trying to follow his will and you keep going forward, like you're not going to mess it up. I love Shelly Giggle that posted the other day, like, if you think you're going to mess up God's will for your life, beautiful friend, you are not that powerful. Like, if you are following in his steps and following his will and being as obedient as you can to his way and his word, like, you're not going to mess it up. And if you choose a path that's like not right and you're like, oh man, this actually was not the best, just get on the next path. Like, ask God to redirect your steps and he will. So don't freak out. You're not going to mess it up. Keep going forward. Don't look too far into signs and whatnot. Follow his word, follow his will, and you're going to be great, friend. So just take the stress and the pressure off.
So how do you discern if something is designed from God? You ask God. You can literally simplify it to that.
Ask God. That's
great.
You just
ask God. And if you feel he doesn't answer you, then you keep asking. It says knock and the door will be open. Ask or seek and you will find. So
it's great.
You just got to keep asking and keep seeking. All right, next question. How to be in the world but not of the world, especially in college? I'll kind of answer this in two questions, or in two kind of parts. I like the comma, especially in college part. but I think, first off, this is one of my favorite scriptures because I think it's so – I'm a visual learner, and I think this verse for me just kind of helps visualize what our life looks like here in this world. And I think it's multifaceted, right? It's how to be in the world, but not of the world. So it basically what it's saying is like how we live on earth. We live currently right now, we live in West Monroe. So we live in this world, but we're not of the world. So what does that mean? So being in the world, but not of the world, it means that you're not going with, you know, with what the rest of the world looks like. You're going against the grain. You're going against society. So especially in college, you're in college, but you're not of college. So what does that mean? Generically, college is partying, it's worldliness, it's sex, it's drinking, it's all these things that necessarily aren't good. So you can be in the sorority house, but you're not of the sorority house, right? Mm-hmm. You live there, but you don't partake in all the things that typically they do at a sorority house. Or you can live in the fraternity house, but you're not of it. You're the one that's going against the norm, and you're not dwelling in what's typically mm-hmm. In this. Especially in college, it's like how to be in college but not of college, mm-hmm. right? Most college students that you talk to they're just not on the right path. They're mm-hmm. living worldly. They're obsessed with all these things that are not necessarily good mm-hmm. for you. So I think you have to just ask yourself, like, am I in the world and am I also of it? And mm-hmm. I think, you know, to be in the world, like I said, you're living here, but you're not of it, right? You mm-hmm. have a difference in the fruits of your life. Mm-hmm. There's the fruit of the spirit, and then there's the acts of the sinful nature. And mm-hmm. I think those are just a good test for wherever you're at. It's, you know,
yeah. So
how to be in the job and not of the job, how to be all the different things.
You can put that anywhere. So for example, like Christian said, like, okay, I can be in college, but not of all the things. So that's like you mentioned drinking and partying and sex and all the things. So if you're like, oh, well, I'm a Christian and it's in my bio and people know I'm a Christian, but yet I'm out the bars every weekend and partying and getting just as drunk as everyone else and sleeping with different people, then you are in the world and of the world. You're not acting set apart. You know, you are not set apart just because your bio says this or you say that you're a Christian. Like to be in it and not of it is like, no, I'm in college. This is my mission field right now because this is where I'm at. I am, you know, if I go to the bar, it's on mission to love people. You know, I'm fully loving God. I'm fully loving people. I'm fully in obedience to Him and walking in His will no matter where I am. And I'm not going to compromise, you know, what is true about what sin is just because I'm trying to be relatable or I'm trying to be cool or whatever. So mm-hmm. there's such a difference in like being in the world and not of it, especially in college. And so I just wanted to point that out, like what that really looks like. No,
because I've been both in college. I have been in the world in college and I have been of the world in college.
Yeah.
It's like I am at Auburn, but I'm also partaking in all the things that all these other non-believers are doing.
Yeah.
But there was a shift in my life, my freshman year, to where, okay, I'm going to be in college. I'm in Auburn. I'm studying business management, but I'm not of it. This does not define me. I'm not being clumped with mm-hmm. all these other group of people that are partaking in these worldly things. So
I think what's still so cool about that is like, you should still be in it because if you're in it, then like you get to be an example in it, you know? Yeah. And I think we're like Christian, people got to see what it looks like to go from an old self to a new self. If you knew Christian the first semester of college to the last semester of college, you saw a completely different person. Just like my host said at If Gathering, man, it was so cool to see where you were at yesterday and where you're at today because that just shows the power of God. It's like that verse, therefore, like we boast in our weakness, for it is like through our weakness that we get to see His strength come alive. And so like, it's okay if you have a shift. Like right now you're like, man, I've been totally in college and of college, but like, I'm going to make a shift. And then people are going to be like, whoa, what happened to you? But man, like you get to tell them your testimony that God changed you, that Holy Spirit convicted you. And that's actually so cool. And I love that like Christian had that shift in college and what happened in his life. But here's the cool thing too. That doesn't mean you still can't have fun. Like you had so much fun in college. You met your best friends in college. You like thrived in college after coming to Christ. And so it didn't hold you back. It actually made you fully come alive. Yeah. So you're not going to like miss out. You're going to miss out on those worldly things, but you're going to come fully alive in Christ. And that's what's so cool. So being like not of something, I think sometimes we think like, oh, we're going to be left out, or we're going to be alone, or we're going to be the weird person. But like, no, like being not of it means that like you are going to fully live in the freedom that Christ has for you. Mm-hmm. And that is the best way to live your life. And so just wanted to point that out because it's not like a sacrifice, but it's like the best sacrifice because freedom's on the other side of it.
Yeah, no, I love that. Cause I love that you mentioned that part, because I think, you know, with that verse, it can also go the direction of, you know, how to be in it but not of it. And it's like you kind of can weed it out to where you kind of become like kind of snobby to it, mm-hmm. you know, like cynical, like just kind of just negative about it. Mm-hmm. So it's like you still can be in it, right? You still can, you know, do these things, mm-hmm. but it's, you're not of it, right? You're yeah. not like, you can still hang out with these friends, but you're not of it, right? Yeah. You're still set apart in it, yeah. you know? So I think don't taking it to the extreme to where it's, you know, it makes you be stuck up of where I'm not of it, but you know, just don't
be loving,
be normal,
be a friend.
Don't take it that way.
Yo, I've always loved the idea of your college years. It just sounds so much fun to just be in the same place with all these people your age and hanging out, doing the things, going to school for what you care about. So friends, if that's you, if you're thinking about heading off to college, then you need to check out Liberty University. Liberty has been training champions for Christ for more than 50 years and has had a huge impact on my family. Liberty offers more than 350 residential programs of study to choose from. So whatever your passion is, they've got you covered. Liberty's beautiful 7,000-acre campus features state-of-the-art facilities and 20 Division I sports programs. So fan the flames, people. Plus, Liberty helps you achieve your dreams at a price that you can afford by offering multiple scholarships and grants. While I've had several friends and family who attended Liberty in person and loved it, my experience through Liberty has been through their online program. I actually did a semester at Liberty, and it was really, really awesome. I got to learn about the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the classes were super doable for me. It was really fun to get to, you know, experience what online college would be like and learn a lot. And I actually still use some of the things that I learned from those classes in sermons that I preach on today. So I've seen it be a benefit. If I ever have the chance to go back and do some more online, I would love to, because I had such a great experience. So if you are a transfer student or a high school second semester, sophomore, junior, or senior, you and your family can actually go check out Liberty University in person at college for a weekend from April 4th through April 6th. It's a 3-day event that lets you attend classes, explore the campus, and connect with other prospective students at fun events. So start your future now by going to liberty.edu/Sadie. And because you're a Whoa, That's Good podcast listener, you'll get your application fee waived. So don't wait. Go to liberty.edu/Sadie now and get started on your future goals today. Okay, how to share the gospel as an introvert, as my introvert that you are. Share yes. it with us, how to share the gospel whenever you're a little bit more introverted.
This is a good question. Well, first off, I just want to say, I think sharing the gospel, it looks different for everybody, right? You have your people who are super extroverted, like you talk about, and it's, you know, like for instance, JP, Jonathan McClure, love him to death. And the way he shares the gospel is different than the way I would share it. He just blatantly asks someone, you know, if you were to die today, what 1 out of 10 you'd go to heaven? I just would never ask that, just because that's just not my personality. I don't, you know, I don't really click with people that way. But I love how he does it. So for me, it's like, I think sometimes you have to just let your life speak for yourself. The amount of conversation I've gotten in with people because I've asked them how their day is going, or I told them thank you, or I tipped them, or all these different things. And I think that can lead to a conversation. And you might be thinking, well, I would never ask someone how they're doing because I am so introverted. So, you know, don't break it down to where it's that, like, I'm in a bedroom, I have no friends, I don't want
to. Well, I think, like, if you're that introverted, you have to ask yourself, like, okay, God, what are you calling me to that's outside of my comfort zone? Because everybody is going to be called to something outside of their comfort zone. Like, most of us, whatever you're called to, is going to be outside your comfort zone. So I think one thing is, like, you can't use your personality type as an excuse to not do the thing that God has placed on your life. Because if God placed it on your life,
we're all called to go make disciples.
Personality type. So it's like Jesus said to go and make disciples of every nation, every tribe, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he didn't say that was limited to a certain group of people. He said, everybody go do that. He told everybody, go love your neighbor as yourself. That was like an everybody call. So you can't say, like, oh, well, I'm an introvert, so I'm not going to do that. In the mm-hmm. same way, I can't like go to the Enneagram and be like, oh, well, I'm a six, and so I'm fearful to do things, so I can't, you know, do that. It's like, no, no matter what your personality type is, that is what you're called to do. And so you do have to trust in the Lord and allow him to like, you know, be your strength and the Holy Spirit to guide you to do the things that you're afraid of. So Christian doesn't want to like go share on stages like I do, and or he doesn't want to go do what JP does and ask people as directly as maybe JP would do it. But I have seen you, I wouldn't even say as much as like asking people how they're doing. Like, yes, you do that, and yes, that makes impact. But to really share the gospel, I've seen you at the gym, like mm-hmm. talking to people, asking them to come, like what is it called? Like spot you. Oh uh-huh. yeah. Like people like, hey, can you come spot me? And then those are the conversations you get in with people. And then I've literally seen you get to the point where they got baptized. And that all started from a conversation of asking them to spot you. You went to coffee with them. You shared your faith. They saw a story on your life. And then, you know, they were ended up being baptized. So Christian was like fulfilling the call in his life to go make disciples and baptize them. He wasn't the one to preach on the stage every Sunday. He wasn't even the one that baptized them, but he was the one that planted the seed that got them to that space. And so that's a great example of an introvert loving someone right where they're at.
No, that's great. I'm looking. So basically, this was back in 2020. Me and Sadie's dad went through these. It's like seven types of evangelism. So I'm just going to go through these real quick.
Is this in Dad's new book, Gospeller?
It might be.
So we might be busting Dad's new book.
You think so?
But we'll tell you. But you got to go get Dad's book when it comes out.
I'll just say like two. So there's the engager, right, which is the person who it's like what JP says. It's Acts 2. It's Peter, you know, gets up and starts preaching. But if you look at events, so basically when Matthew started following Jesus, it said that he held the party, invited all of his tax collector friends and sinners, and he invited Jesus. So Matthew was not the one necessarily sharing the gospel, but he was able to get a group together. He was able to host a party, and he invited worldly people, and he invited Jesus, mm-hmm. and basically just said Jesus preached to them. Yeah. So for you, it might not be, you know, you know much scripture, or you're not confident in that or whatever. So, but you have friends that are. So for me, it's like I could have a party, or I could host a gathering, and I can invite JP, and I can say, JP, go do your thing. But that's me using a gift that God's given me of being able hosting to get, of and hosting inviting. And inviting and, you know, getting my house in order to where it's a nice setting to where I can host people. So there's so many different facets of that.
And I think, like, because of the day that we live in and the culture that we live in, it defines ministry as these, like, jobs that you have, like vocational ministry. But if you go read the Bible, like, go read through Acts and look at the ways these people use their ministry, like the ways that they got people to know about Jesus. There's all types of different people. And Dad does talk about that in his book and breaks down all the seven. And if we went into it, this is a whole nother podcast. We'll have to have him on to really break down with Christian, but it really is so encouraging. So no matter what personality you have, God designed you, knit you together in your mother's womb to have that personality and to fully be able to bring kingdom to earth. So just keep that in mind. Okay, moving on, because we have so many things to talk about, but we're probably not going to get to all of it today. Someone asked about godly breakups, how to go about breakups in a godly way. I thought this was a really like respectable question because this is really a hard thing to navigate. I think when you're going through a breakup, these are things I learned from me not doing well. So I'll say that. One thing that I think never goes ever well is blaming it on God, like saying something along the lines of like, well, God just has like, maybe even saying like God told me or God put this on my heart, whatever. I think just like if God told you to break up with that person, let that be between you and God, and then you go about it in a respectful, honorable way, because sometimes it's like hard when they don't feel that from God. Like they didn't feel like God said to break up with you. They're thinking that this is a great relationship, and then it gets confusing as to like what God's plan is or what God's purpose is. And
well, then
you never want to like make anyone journey. Confused on their spiritual journey. You never want to make anyone confused about what God says. And if God gave that word to you, then like you take that and you're responsible for that. And you're responsible for your conviction and feeling the need to break up. But then you take that responsibility and you break up with them, but don't like put it necessarily on God. I just don't think it works. I just don't think it goes very well. I think it adds more confusion than clarity, and I don't think so that good. Confusion is good.
I was just about to say clarity, because I don't have any experience in godly breakups, which I'm glad that you're able to speak to that. But yeah, it's like in hindsight, if I were to have, it's providing just clarity. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, because when you were saying blaming it or using God as like a cop out or as an excuse, you know, the infamous, it's not you, it's me. I think that's.
And it might very well be God that said it is what I'm saying. You probably do feel the lack of peace from God or God said it. That's fine. Like, that's good. But then don't like tell them that because then it makes them confused.
I think you don't tell them that. But I do think you provide clarity in a way that doesn't leave them confused because I can mm-hmm. think about me and you because you're going to break up with me, which I did not know. I would have been I'd have been very upset, but if you would have
not very clear,
but if you would have used it as a, in a spiritual way, then it would have made me not only doubt, you know, what we've been through together, but it would have made me doubt my relationship with God.
Yeah. Cause like, it makes you feel like, are you not good enough or are you whatever?
But then it makes me feel like, am I not hearing from the Lord correctly? Cause I feel like we were in a good spot. And so
so be careful with that.
So be careful.
I wouldn't use that link. Y'all, I love summertime. It is my favorite season, and I'm so excited to jump back in. We are approaching the best time of the year. But no matter what your summer looks like, KiwiCo invites kids and kids at heart to enjoy their first summer adventure series. Kids can receive 6 hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks, no matter what their age is, with enriching activities that accompany each project. KiwiCo has something for everyone, with different topics for each age, from space to dinosaurs and so much more. I am so excited about the summer series. We actually are getting this little driver that I know Haven is going to love because it's a little steering wheel and she loves anything active. And also a little like neighborhood fun one where they have a water paint thing, which is so good because it's not going to make a mess. And Honey is so into painting right now. And painting with a 3-year-old, that's just hard. So I'm excited for the no mess. KiwiCo offers kids a chance to get outside and explore screen-free with projects like the Bottle Rocket Kit from the Summer Adventure Series. They can turn the outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. Every Summer Adventure Series with KiwiCo is a personalized experience that includes real engineering, science, and art projects. And you'll be impressed with how high quality all the materials are. Everything we've gotten from KiwiCo has been absolutely amazing and such high quality. I know sometimes it can be hard to find creative, engaging ways to keep your kids away from the screens and just having fun, but KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can focus on spending fun and quality time tackling projects together. The KiwiCo Summer Adventure Series is personalized to your family and can be received all at once or weekly for 6 weeks depending on your schedule. If you like it all at once, that's great, or space it out a little bit. Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off your summer adventure series at kiwico.com/SadieRobSummer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com/SadieRobSummer.
We talked about it earlier. It's over-spiritualizing something.
Don't over-spiritualize
a breakup because it's going to hurt. It's
hurt no matter what.
Yeah,
so. I think that's the other thing to realize too is it hurts no matter what, and so you need to be really empathetic and kind. If you're going into a breakup and you're the one breaking it with a person, and maybe you're not as sad about it as they're going to be because you're not going to be as sad about it as they're going to be, because anyone that's getting broken up with is going to be more hurt than the person.
The dumper
doing the
is always less upset than the
yes.
dumped.
And so, like, be empathetic, be kind, be compassionate. Like, I'm sorry, I know this is really upsetting, and I know this is probably going to be confusing, but I'm in this place right now when I was going to break up with Christian, this is how it was going before Christian
Chill
stopped me.
Out.
No, but this is good because I was like, hey, listen, like, sure. I have loved the dates that we've been on. You are awesome. This has been amazing. I just feel like I'm at this place where I am not going to be able to give you.
It's just you
like,
providing a godly breakup.
Yeah, this
example.
Is. This is the, my best breakup, which actually didn't end up in a breakup. It actually ended up in a really good conversation.
3, 2, 1,
and now
action.
We're married and have 2 kids. But this is where I was going with the conversation. And I actually think I have, like I said, this is from like failure that I'm telling you this. I did not do well with breakups. This one, I think I was doing pretty good with until he told me
but
to stop
I love
talking.
You.
Okay, no, but this is what I was saying. Okay, so I felt like at the time I could not be a good girlfriend to Christian because I was about to go on tour and I was about to be so busy and he was in college and I was like, hey, I don't want you to have to get into this relationship where you feel like you're torn between college and dating me and I don't want to feel like I can't show up to Auburn and like give you a normal relationship because I'm literally on tour and all this stuff. So I was going into it being like, hey, you're awesome. This has nothing to do with how awesome you are. We've had awesome dates. I love them. And I know this is going to be confusing because how much fun we've had and how awesome I think you are. But I honestly just feel like I am going into a season of my life where I'm going to be so busy that I'm going to be on tour. I'm not going to be able to come to Auburn, which I'm going to hate because I'm going to feel bad and guilty for not giving you a good normal relationship. And then I don't want you to be torn between college and a relationship with me. And so I was going to like exit out for those reasons. Well, Christian, you know, you also can handle it in a godly way. What?
That was what I, it was the conversation over the phone.
Yeah, Christian told me to stop talking. So I,
over the phone, basically put my finger on
Christian said, whoa, stop talking. He said, listen, if it's a win for God and if it's a win for you, it'll be a win for me. And I was like, wow, okay, hold up. I actually don't think I want to break it with you. I think I want to marry you. But I didn't actually say that, but I was kind of thinking it. But I do think because it was like done in a godly way, it actually led us to having a really good conversation about the insecurities that I was having and the problems I was foreseeing us having in a relationship. Then he got to respond in the way that was also godly and honoring to me. And we decided together to go forward with the relationship. And so,
and I will say too, like even with godly breakups, like most people we know, I feel like that are married have broken up at one point.
Yeah.
Right. So I think there is clarity even in a timing situation, right? Of, but then again, you don't want to provide false hope. But I do think that looking back at our situation, you know, if it was necessarily tour, then we could have broken up for 6 months or then kind of reconvened after
but it would have been totally different if I didn't handle it in a godly way and I just ghosted you and never talked to you and you were just left with confusion. Or I just said, hey, God told me that we're supposed to break up and then we didn't, you can't come. Like, that's the problem when you say, like, God told me, because then they can't argue with God in that moment. So there's nothing for them to say. But because I was like, hey, this is actually just, like, things I'm thinking through. And then we had a great conversation. So anyways, I hope that helps. If you're going into a breakup and you're trying to think about what you're going to say.
Just rewind about 3 minutes and just write this down.
Go with what I did. No, I'm just kidding. Just, like, think about why you're breaking up and be clear. Clear is kind. Kind is clear. Do the whole thing.
Clear and concise. You also don't want to like
drag it out.
Drag it out. Don't want to say too much stuff to her.
Get in, like, get out.
Yep.
Yes.
But hard. Provide clarity.
It's hard. I'm like nervous laughing with you because if you're listening to this podcast and you're already thinking about breaking up with someone, you're like, oh crap, this is my sign. This is my sign.
Oh crap.
Oh crap, this is my sign. Maybe I shouldn't say oh crap on a podcast and that's I funny. Just
it's
okay. did.
It's just poop.
Okay, thank you. That totally got me. Okay, sorry. Okay, on that note, because I don't think I'm going to be able to stop laughing, we are going to cut here because we have more questions, but honestly, y'all know we're going to do this once a month. We always love to answer y'all's DMs. Keep sending in good questions. Keep us diving into the word and thinking about these things. Honestly, it helps us so much as y'all ask these questions. And again, we are not the end all be all for this. Like if you're seeking more advice on this, like go to a pastor, go to a mentor, go to a friend, but most importantly, go to the Lord. Make sure all this sits right with you. I love how one of my mentors says it. She'll send me a little voice audio of encouragement or a word, and then she'll say, hey, but if this is not aligned with the Holy Spirit and you do not feel like this is something for your life, then throw it away. But if it does, keep it. So that's kind of like our heart in this. We hope this encourages you. We hope it sends you to the word. But if it is in any way confusing, ditch it.
Ditch it. And we love you, friends. We'll see you back here next Wednesday.